Well, hasn't it been funny weather? Weird thunderstorms, floods, hot then cold. I don't know if you've noticed it, it's brought all the mosquitoes out. I got so bitten to death on Friday. I was taking a wedding yesterday. I tried to cover up. How can I meet the bride by the pond? And Martin said, oh, you'll be meeting her in kind of a vicar's version of full beekeeper outfit at this rate. What's going on? Is it typical English summer weather? Is it something to do with climate change? Well, it's difficult to know with any one event. We do know that over the next few decades, we are going to have more stormy weather and more erratic weather. But we don't know exactly whether any one bit fits that pattern or is just typically English weather. Because there's always been changeable weather. And it's not just in Britain, it was in other parts of the world as well. And the Sea of Galilee, which is the focus of our gospel story this morning, is notorious for sudden storms that blow up on the lake. It's got mountains around it, the Golan Heights on the east side of it, and it just creates a situation as the lake heats up, particularly during the day, that you can get storms building up, especially early evening. It's a very familiar story to us, isn't it? Jesus has been teaching by the lake. There were so many people that he asked his disciples to row him out onto the lake a little. Now, this was a very nifty move because it meant that he was away from the crowd and he was actually able to sort of settle himself down and teach, not have them crowding round him. But also, any of you who know anything about physics and water will know that it meant that his voice travelled better across the water so he could be heard better. So very clever. Well, eventually, after a whole afternoon teaching, he winds up his teaching and asks the crowd to disperse. It's been a very, very long day, and to be able to leave the crowd behind and again not have them crushing around him as he came back to land, he decided to ask the disciples, could they sail the boat to the other side of the lake? And so they do. Jesus was totally shattered and he fell asleep in the boat. And then the storm blows up. Mark says, the disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I don't know about you, but I always feel a bit sorry for those disciples. They were genuinely afraid. But out of it, Jesus gave them a real lesson in faith. He showed the disciples that they could trust him. They could have faith in Jesus. If Jesus is in your boat, you don't need to be afraid. Whatever storms are going on around you, you don't need to be afraid. Sometimes we forget that. We go on as if we're all alone. Perhaps it just is that we feel all alone, and the storm seems about to overwhelm us. When we do feel like that, we can turn and we can know that Jesus really is here with us. We don't need to be afraid. He's in our boat, each one of us. Jesus is in our boat. We can turn to him, whatever the storm is like. Then isn't it amazing how he was able to command that storm? It was a bit like a kind of a wild horse, wasn't it? He just kind of calmed it down. He just said, be still. Be quiet. And it calmed down. And I think in that he showed that he was indeed Lord of all creation. Throughout the Bible, we find references to Jesus and creation. In John's Gospel, we find at the beginning that John said that all things were created through the Word, and then spells out that the Word was Jesus himself. This echoes back to Genesis, where God said, "Let there be life," and there was life. God created by speaking. And John realizes that the living Word is indeed the one through whom all of creation came into being. And that echoes forwards to some of the teaching after Jesus rose from the dead, as those disciples were trying to make sense of what had happened. Who was Jesus? The person who wrote the Hebrews began his letter by saying this: "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe." That's an amazing thing to say, isn't it? Through Jesus, God made the universe. And then Paul got the same idea in Colossians, where he picks up that creation theme. And he's thinking about the ascended Jesus and says that he holds the whole of creation together. So we have now that idea of how the early church began to understand Jesus. He was the one through whom the whole universe came into being. And through his death and resurrection, he is now the one who holds it together and will one day fully redeem the whole of it to renew it to that new heaven and earth. Well, that's a really big cosmic thought at 8:30 on a Sunday morning, isn't it? But I think it's really helpful when we just then zoom down into this story of the calming of the storm. Jesus knew the storm. Jesus had been involved in creating the weather. And he is the Lord of creation who holds it all together. So, of course, he could command the storm and it would calm down. I think that gives us hope for our world today, our funny weather that we have today. We can trust that Jesus is the Lord of all creation. And we can trust him whatever happens, even as our weather goes through changes, as it will do in this century. We can trust him. At the same time, we need to know that God has asked us to play our part. God hasn't given us a carte blanche to do what we want with his creation. I think we sometimes think that that's the case. And I think that's sometimes the way we've handled creation. We can see that. There was a really sad story in The Guardian this morning. I think I was reading at the time. Martin said, aren't you supposed to be at church? But it was of a whale in Thailand who they rescued. It was ill and they couldn't save it. It vomited up some polythene bags as they were trying to save it. And they just found dozens of polythene bags in its stomach after it had died, and that's what had killed it. And they say hundreds of animals are dying every year through that. God hasn't given us a carte blanche to do what we want to do with his creation. He set limits, one of which is the Sabbath, that Sabbath reading that we had first of all this morning, looking at keeping the Sabbath day holy. And it's amazing that it wasn't just the kind of the bosses who expected to take time off, which would have been very much many of the cultures around them. It was the women, it was the children, it was the slaves, but also the animals. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. Your ox and your ass should also have a day's rest. And then in another part of the Old Testament, it says that every 7 years you should let the land have a rest. So there's this idea of building rest into creation, setting limits in the way we use things. And we've not been very good at that. We need to take it more seriously. We're looking at the Beatitudes at the moment, and at how to be a more Christ-like church. And the beatitude of today is that the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And we're called to be meek. We're called to be respectful towards each other and towards God's earth. It's not a weakness, it's a respectfulness as we're meek. Well, last month, the PCC voted to register for a scheme called EcoChurch. And it takes five different areas of church life: worship and teaching, buildings, land, community and global, and lifestyle. And it seeks to improve our respect for the world around us in each of those five ways: worship and teaching, how we use our buildings, our land, our community, and our global, how we reach out into our community, how we reach out globally, and our own lifestyle. And I think we can think of Christ holding creation and our task, perhaps, to help him in that task. We are his church. We are the body of Christ. And so it's part of our mission as a church to do that. And we know that we can trust him, even in the midst of the storm. Whether that's the storm of some of these environmental things I've been talking about, or whether that's the storm of some of the things in our personal lives that I mentioned at the beginning of this talk, that we find ourselves in these times in our lives that can be very stormy. We can trust him in all of these things, and he will guide us through. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Amen.